Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, April 10th. I'm Ray Graff, Pets and Vets today, and joining us in the studio, Drs. Susan Ciculli and Teresa Tomel of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Saratoga. You got a question about your cat or dog, other pet? Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Ciculli, Dr. Tomel, and your pet questions coming up on Vox Pop Pets and Vets right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Pets and Vets today and here to take your calls. Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Teresa Tomel of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Saratoga, often called the Cat Whisperer. Dr. Ciculli is a veterinarian who has been specializing in feline care for more than 24 years. She focuses on the entire cat's health, from kitten to senior cats, addressing behavior and nutrition while providing medical and surgical care. Dr. Tomel received her bachelor's in biology from Siena College and her doctor of veterinary medicine from Ross University College of Veterinary Medicine, with clinical study at Virginia Maryland Regional College of Veterinary Medicine at Virginia Tech. Her professional interests include dental surgery, soft tissue surgery, ultrasound, rescue, shelter medicine, and I'm told she knows a little bit about large animals. So maybe a goat needs a tune-up. This is the time to call. The number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Ciculli, Dr. Tomel, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
Happy to be here.
Well, Dr. Ciculli, you're a regular on this program. What's new with you?
I am. I wanted to introduce a couple of things that are on the horizon for use in both cats and dogs. The first one is for cats, and it uses technology.
This is a hideous contraption.
So it's called a Sure Feed Feeder.
Oh, boy.
Micro, and you use a chip that you insert, like an identification.
Yeah.
And the cat goes under this little arch, and as the feeder reads that specific chip for that cat,
yeah,
then the dish opens up and the cat can eat that food. It is so good for those multi-cat households where you have those nibblers.
Oh my gosh. So if you have four cats, when it's time to feed the cat, cat two will not get any food by sticking her head in the thing.
And it's really very sensitive. I have a couple clients that are using it now and they love it. So I'd highly recommend it.
You know what? Technology's gone too far. Were you going to get a machine to pet your cat for you? Why have a cat?
Oh, gosh, no, you couldn't do that.
All right.
We need that. Humans need the petting part.
Well, I'm fascinated by this and yet terrified at the same time. So, and you say it works, huh?
It does.
Can we do it with kids?
Might be, huh? That might be the new technology.
It's a brave new world,
Okay, so they use it on the dairy side. They've used it for years, right? I mean, that's how they, for dairy cows, they go into the stanchion and they're chip fed based on their production.
Well, I didn't know that.
Not that I know a lot
about. Does Dr. Tomel know about that? You're the large animal person.
Not too much.
No.
Not too much.
So what brings you to this program? Did you have the short straw?
No. Just accompanying Dr. Ciculli and, you know, like to, if there's some questions out there that need answering.
Okay, now, you know, Dr. Ciculli, well known on this program for being a cat expert, but
yes.
I understand you also know a little bit about dogs, too. So
I've worked with dogs in the past. I right now am at Just Cats with Dr. Ciculli, but I've worked with dogs in the past, and I live on a farm with my husband and our two children.
Really?
So my husband raises beef cattle.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah, so.
But now you obviously have experience with dogs, but you went to Just Cats. So really what you're saying is you really don't like dogs that much, right?
That is not true.
No?
No? No, I very much love dogs, but I prefer working with cats.
Okay, well, let's take some calls. 800-348-2551 is our number. And we start with Priscilla in Pine Plains. Priscilla, you're on.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I've just recently adopted two cats that were brought as part of a roundup of feral cats to my local vet in Pine Plains. However, these two, who were found with, you know, worms and all kinds of things, scrounging and garbage, are not feral. They're brothers. They're currently 7 months old. I got them at 6 months old. They're about seven and a half. The problem is, first of all, they're wonderful. They're gentle. They're everything that you want a cat to be, except both of them smell bad when they poop. One of them has finally firmed up his poop, and the other one is still sort of runny. I've had analysis of the fecal matter. The worms are gone. Everything's good. The ear mites are gone. They eat very well. And I give them grain-free wet as well as grain-free dry food.
Well, you set a new record, Priscilla. You're the first caller, and it's a poop question. Usually we wait about three or four, so congratulations.
I gotta get it over with,
well
know?
Played. What do you
Let's
think,
Doctor? Let's
lay
it right out there.
So great job on rescuing them. Good start there. So the feces, it since it's been checked, and I don't know what type of sample they ran, but we use, if it's still loose and it has an odor, we use a little bit more of a specialized test, and that might be something you want to talk to your veterinarian about running.
Okay.
It'll look at other types of organisms that our general fecal sample doesn't test for, and so there are some other medications that might be warranted
okay.
there. The other thing is... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say they did send this out for both times to a lab that does check for many other kinds
of things. Okay, great. So it sounds like you're probably good on testing the feces. So you may want to incorporate changes in their diet. So some cats that have had recent infections and their flora is off, it might be time to look at the food that they're eating, and you might need to get them on more of a novel protein or a more easily digestible diet.
Okay, a question. For the past week and a half, I've been giving them ProPlan veterinary diets, Fortiflora, in their little packets from Purina that add,
probiotics, yes.
Probiotics to their food in the morning, and they think this stuff is great. They love that. However, it's just one of the cats. One is long-haired, one is short-haired. The food I'm giving them is Wellness. I'm just trying another brand, Holistic Select, grain-free, wet. There's another brand, Whole Earth Farms, grain-free.
Those are all great foods. Sometimes it's the protein in the food, too, that
right.
can be irritating them. And so rabbit is really good and really easy for them to digest. If you haven't tried that, that might be a good next step.
I'll check with my buyer of pet food store. The other thing is it okay to give them raw? A friend of mine feeds her flock of ferals that are all neutered in her barn. She feeds them raw chicken.
Okay, well, Dr. Sekulli has things to say about that.
Okay.
Or Dr. Dallas, who isn't here, because she is a very...
Yes,
we
yes.
miss you, Chris.
Yes, right.
She also feeds them dry, grain-free food.
And I guess our thoughts on any of these diet changes is we trial them for a period of time. That is why you find so many different foods out there, because for each individual cat, one works for one as you're finding, and then it may not for the next. So experiment, just know your sources if you do go to the raw diet.
Priscilla, thanks for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Teresa Tomel and Dr. Susan Sekulli of Just Cats. Now remember, if you have a dog question, that's okay too. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Marie in Orange, Massachusetts. Marie, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call today. Hi, doctors. My cat question is a cat question. I have two siblings, brother and sister, that have been with me all their lives, but the little boy, they're 10 years old. They just turned 10. And Nelson, my male cat, has a chronic swelling and itching around his eyes. And I have to take him to the vet periodically for shots. And they say they give him Depo. And I don't know what that is. And it's not really clear to me why this is a recurring. It's like a swelling and rash around his eyes. And he starts scratching all around his face and his head and everything. And I'm not sure what is going on with him, and what is Depo, and why are they giving it to him?
The Depomedrol sounds like that's the long-acting corticosteroid, if that's what it is. And it sounds like they're treating for allergies. And that is commonly how we see allergies present in cats. And so the decisions are, is this a seasonal thing? Is it something that just occurs in the spring and the fall? Is it more year-round? And if so, then there may be things in your house that you may want to adjust. I even suggest trying to change a litter and seeing if that would help, because that's something they get exposed to on a daily basis. But I keep experimenting and look for options to eliminate what he might be allergic to.
Could this be food allergy?
It could be, too. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Really? Food allergy? Wow, that's interesting, because he's been eating the same thing for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's funny, doctors. They can all of a sudden, and people, too, get allergic at a drop of a hat.
Absolutely. Yep. It's same with gluten. Yeah.
Come to think of it, you're right. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You're right about that. I think it seems to be seasonal now that you can't think about mention that, because it's spring and it started back up again, but he was fine over the winter. It's been like, but 2 months later after the last shot, he has to go for another shot on Monday.
And we sometimes find antihistamines or Zyrtec is helpful too, if you can medicate him.
So. Okay. No, that's fine. I don't mind going for the vet for shots, but so you think it's more of an allergy type of thing, an allergic type of thing?
It does sound like maybe that's what they're treating for, yes.
Okay, Marie, we have to take a break here, but thank you for the call. It's Pets and Vets today. 800-348-2551 is the number. And Dr. Susan Sekulia is here, Dr. Teresa Tomel, and you. And we'll be back for more of you coming up. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. It's Pets and Vets today, and we talk pets. You give us a call at 800-348-2551. Dr. Teresa Tomel and Dr. Susan Sekulia here to answer your questions. A couple of quick emails here, docs, and then back to the phones. This one came in from Susie. Susie writes, I have a 14-year-old dog that is starting to exhibit what I think are early signs of CDD. Most obvious is that he stands in place and stares, often whining softly. Do you have suggestions for treating this either medically or with supplements? First of all, CDD is?
Cognitive dysfunction disorder.
Okay.
So,
and so,
you know,
treating that.
Yep. So there are medications. I am not sure what supplements are out there exactly for this. I know there are some. We don't use those a lot. But there are, I'm sure, supplements you could use too. But there are medications. Of course, you're going to want to make sure with an older dog that you've done blood work, taken it to the vet, they've done a full exam, make sure there's not something else bothering it. But it does sound like CDD.
I mean, what else could it be?
If some other type of medical condition is bothering the dog, you know, usually they'll exhibit other ways, you know.
Yeah.
Discomfort, not being able to settle, but.
A slow-growing tumor, have neurologic concerns. Yeah.
This one is from Mary in Red Hook. Mary writes, I thought I heard someone say that you should never feed brown rice to dogs. Is that true? And if so, why?
Oh, dear.
Why the oh, dear?
Oh, dear. I don't know if I can answer that
okay,
one.
Well,
I've not heard that.
So it may or may not be true.
Yeah.
You have no comment on it.
No comment. Thank you.
All right. Fair enough. Let's go back to the phones. Yes. Joe in Galway. Joe.
Hi. I have a cat, 9 years old, and I adopted her from the shelter. She was there for 2.5 years, and she has FIV. What are the chances that the FIV would kick in as she gets older? Because she's not on any medication or anything. She's fine.
So cats with FIV, you know, they are more likely to develop certain things. But FIV cats can also live very, very long, healthy lives. And we see more and more of them, you know, these days, just living healthy lives. There are some immune supportive supplements that you can give to kind of help the immune system, because with FIV, it is going to be a little bit more challenged, a little bit weaker, most likely. But most of these cats can live long, healthy lives. Great, great job on adopting an FIV positive cat.
The immune supportive over the counter?
Well, you would probably want to get it from your veterinarian. So we have different supplements that we use in our clinic. But, you know, there are some over-the-counter. I can't really speak for them. But the ones that we use in the clinic, I do like them, and I think they do help.
We use Standard Process and RX Vitamins are two of the name brands that we use. They're both prescription supplements.
Okay. Well, I was just concerned because she's getting older, if it would kick. Is there a possibility it would never kick in?
There is that possibility that she may, you know, die from something else, old age. And as she ages, I don't know, I can't remember how old you said that she was, but, you know, we try to look at our older cats every 6 months or so. And especially with a cat that's FIV positive, I would also recommend that for your cat as well.
All right, Joe. And sorry to say the name of your town wrong. It's Galway. And I apologize for that slip of the tongue. Harriet in Fleischman. Harriet, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call. This is not a poop question.
Hey, all right.
I have a new cat. She's been in the house 24 hours approximately. She's very different from my other cat who passed away. She is kind of skittish, and she's training me to go to her to pet her. She loves the attention, but I'm finding that her habits are very different than my other cat. She doesn't like the scratching post. She likes the carpet. She likes the furniture. She likes to jump on the sink. I don't like these behaviors. How do I discourage her? Granted, it's only 24 hours. Her former owner died. She's 3 to 4 years old and not sure. So all of this is new to me. And as I said, she's so different from my other cat. But how do I discourage this if this is, she likes the sink, she doesn't like the scratching post? What do I do?
Do you have any of the scratching posts she had at the old house?
No, her owner died, and I adopted her from the shelter.
Oh, wow. I see. Okay. All right. So
She's been back and forth from the shelter to PetSmart, so I understand why she's a little skittish or a lot skittish.
Yeah, exactly.
It's only 24 hours.
Very new, yes.
As I said, she's exhibiting these things that I want to discourage as early as I can.
Absolutely, and smart of you
to
address
them. So how do you nip
that
in the bud?
I like to make the areas that she is using right now not smell so good. So I use lemon or lavender, I think I mentioned on the... So spray that on your furniture, on the areas you're trying to protect, and then get some scratching posts that look like what she's trying to scratch of yours. The carpet, the vertical furniture. And put that feel a scratch. I think we've mentioned that before. It's a newer pheromone that they have out. It attracts this cat to it, and then praise her every time you see her using that, because part of this may be she just wants your attention, and then when she's scratching, you're going no.
Yeah.
And so they want attention, regard you know, like
any
a kid, positive
attention.
Or negative. Yeah, but good luck. You can do this, and you know, maybe put stuff over top of your furniture for right now to really protect it.
And this would apply to the sink as well. Sink area, lemons, and...
Yeah.
They don't like lavender, huh?
They do, no.
I love lemon.
No, it's small.
Now you're saying getting in the sink, up on the counter?
No, on top of the counter, right next to the sink.
Yeah, that one's a little different behavior, and that one might be a little harder.
And some cats like running water, so I don't know if that's part of the issue here. So you could try a fountain. Fountains are great. Some cats really like those, and if that's why she's going to...
Like what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
A fountain? It'll
continue. Fountain. Oh,
yeah.
Water fountain.
And may I ask one more question?
Sure.
Do you dry food versus wet food? What do you think is best for a cat?
Wet food.
They all seem to agree on that. The wet food is good.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for the
call.
Good luck. Number here is 800-348-2551. Our cat, you know, will claw the couch. And frankly, at this point, I just, whatever, go ahead.
It's the big scratching post, right?
Yeah, but she does that when she wants to go out. So I know that, this is her method of saying, hey, I want to go out now.
Have you gotten one of those hanging scratching posts that hang on the door? Maybe put
for the
that
kids,
by the
yes,
door
but
mouth.
Not for the, not for the, not for the cats. Dana in Tivoli. Dana, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have 2 16-year-old indoor-outdoor cats that were rescue kittens in Rhode Island, where we used to live. And the elderly male is dramatically slower, obviously. There's no more dead squirrels, chipmunks, birds, or mice on our patio anymore. But he still likes to go across the street. And I've recently found out that not one, but three times the same neighbor is feeding him. He's gained a lot of weight. I've nicely asked them to please stop, but was met with a bit of defiance. No comment on that for the moment. Other people's bad cat behavior. And I think I want to, like, plus he's trotting across the street and he's so much slower.
Yeah.
I think I want to have him stay inside now, but I feel like that's cruel. Is that cruel?
I don't think it's cruel. And I think there are ways to help him adjust to that. There's definitely some tools you can use and see how it goes. I mean, he might very well be fine staying inside now, and especially since he is slowing down. It's going to be a lot safer for him, especially since he is crossing a street.
He's crossing the street where there's students and traffic.
There are some really neat outdoor screened-in areas that you can put in your yard to make them think they're outside, and that's very, very safe for them, and that he may transition into something like that pretty well.
He still wants to go out, and like the previous caller, he scratches a lot when he can't go out, and I've already trashed our furniture. I'm giving that up. But I feel guilty, I'll admit it, because he likes the fresh air, but I can't control other people and their...
I agree. No. We agree with you. I do. You will feel even worse if he ever got hit by a car.
Yeah.
And so you should protect him.
All right.
Absolutely.
Dana, thank you for the call. The number is 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets today. Dr. Susan Ciculli, Dr. Teresa Tomel. And who has been waiting longest? Looks like Isabel in Ellenville. Isabel, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have four cats, but one of them has had a dental procedure two times over the last few years. He's 11 years old. And the last visit to the vet a week or so ago, he said his gums are inflamed again and they want to do another dental procedure and clean off the teeth and whatever else they'll do. And my friend, who also has a cat, said that they can die under anesthesia at that age just as quickly as having the work done. And I wonder how you feel about dental procedures as the cats get older.
Well, I'll be honest. Age is not a disease. And at our clinic, we do dentals and other surgical procedures on older cats, geriatric cats, and they do very well. Obviously, we're going to work them up. We're going to do blood work first. We're going to make sure that their heart sounds healthy and all of that. But if they check out, then I really don't think that they're at much more of an increased risk than any other cat that we do procedures on.
How old is too old?
I did major surgery not too long ago on a 20-year-old cat. Cat did great. Great.
So if
your cat is suffering and uncomfortable, I think it is important to have the procedure done. And depending on the severity of the gum inflammation, that depends on how much the cat's probably suffering. And if it is that bad, it is something that we would do at our clinic, definitely. So I would encourage
you to. I work at a cat shelter, and I said to the vet, none of these cats ever have dental work, and they live a long time. And why is it my pets always seem to have to go to the dentist?
They got sent to you for a reason,
that's
honey.
Right.
Well, thank you.
I guess that I will have him looked at. Could I ask one more other question?
Sure, go ahead, Isabel.
I have another cat that's been on Hill's CD for urinary situation. And the cat has stopped eating the dry and the wet food. So I've switched to an over-the-counter product. And is there anything you would recommend that is over-the-counter, not prescription, that I can try?
It's important to know why the cat was put on in the first place, and I don't know if it really needs that prescription diet, but anything good quality over-the-counter canned is going to be better than anything dry for that situation.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. It's 800-348-2551 if you have a question. 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets today. Andrea in Saugerties, you're on. Hello? Uh-oh. Are you not listening on the phone? Hello? Oh, for Pete's sake. Give her one more second. Andrea? rats. All right. Well, if she calls back, Carol, we'll try to get her right on. Okay. This is Rebecca in Peru. Rebecca, you're on.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. I have a very specific question for you folks about, what are your thoughts about how impactful a grain-free diet is in reference to the diet affecting the ears and skin, specifically like when animals have yeasty, you know, chronic infections? How impactful do you think a grain-free diet, is on those diagnoses?
For me, I find the grain-free is a little bit of a marketing ploy. I think Chris, Dr. Dallas and I would agree on that when she and I were here, and I know Teresa and I have had conversations. I think the comments are you're looking for a high protein, good quality protein diet, but cats, especially in particular, if they're out in the wild, they will eat grass or they will eat some grains. Okay. So I don't know if grains is the culprit or the cause of those problems, but more if you're looking at either skin problems, ear problems, etc., you're looking at the quality of the food and then the protein source of that food. I can claim it. My sister has a 3-year-old Labrador, and she's been having some ear problems, and she took her to the other vet. And their suggestion, she actually goes to a holistic veterinarian and she's cool. And her comments were try some different foods with there. Yeah. You know, switch from the turkey and chicken to now all beef and see if there's a correlation to that. So just be careful that, you know, as I keep saying, there's lots of foods out there. Don't be caught in the advertising part of that to give you the answers.
Thanks, Rebecca. I had heard, and I don't know where I heard this, maybe it was on the show, maybe whatever, that there was sort of a change of thinking as far as the grains in food, especially for cats. Am I wrong about
that? Absolutely. No, you are absolutely right.
And so what's the current this week?
Still, I go back to canned food.
Yeah.
And good quality protein. I don't know if, Teresa, you have any other thoughts on it, but that's what we go for.
No, I agree. You know, I don't think it's so much important the grain-free as much as the high-quality protein and what the protein is. And sometimes you just need to try different things.
Our number here on the Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop is 800-348-2551. Dr. Teresa Tomel and Dr. Susan Ciculli here to answer your questions. And now we go. Let's see. Did Andrea call back? No, she didn't. We'll go to Fred in Greenfield Park. Fred, you're on.
Oh, great. Hi, Ray. Hi. I have a question about cataracts. I have an Italian greyhound. He's a little big for his breed, but he's been healthy, and he's had great food all his life and everything. He's a very healthy dog. But in the last year and a half or so, he developed cataracts, and they're fairly advanced. I mean, sometimes you can see the cataract clearly. You can't see through it. And other times of the day, sometimes you can see his pupils, but he still can't see. So my question is, I've done just a little research, and cataracts, first of all, they're not guaranteed for older dogs, and second of all, they're expensive. So which or what is true?
There's two different things. There is a normal hardening of the lens that happens to most animals as they age. We see it. It is more obvious, I would say, in dogs than cats. But then there are these real hard cataracts that they can get, and that, you know, both of which can impair their vision. But those thick, real hard white cataracts can also, you know, they can also cause some pressure changes in the eye and some other things that could be a concern, which, you know, would almost not give you a choice where you would have to do a procedure to remove that. But it is best to have something like that, you know, first evaluated by your veterinarian. They can check the pressure in your dog's eyes. And then if they feel there's a problem there or it is advanced enough where it might need to be removed.
In the dog's eyes, they have like a valve on a tire or something?
Yeah. Yep.
No, they have the puffer ones like they use for us for the pressure, eye pressure.
Yep. But if it's beyond.
Why are they so expensive compared to? Oh. I mean, for human beings, I think you can do your cataracts for a few hundred dollars. Why is it like $1,750 or $2,000?
So the big thing with that,
that's an average. It goes anywhere from like $1,300 to $2,200.
Okay. Well, we don't usually do prices on this, but in general,
you can answer that question. I can because, you know, on the human side, we're usually dealing with copays and insurance. And on the animal side, we don't usually have that.
Yeah.
So that's why we see that price go up so much.
And it's typically an ophthalmologist, a veterinary ophthalmologist that's a specialist that's doing the procedure for us.
Boy, $300 for human cataracts?
That's pretty good.
A darn good deal. Interesting. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets Today, back. Home stretch coming up. Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets Today, Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Teresa Tomel of Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Saratoga. Let's see, who's next? Oh, boy. Mike in South Hadley. Mike, you're on.
Hi, Ray.
Yay.
Doctors, how are you doing?
Hello.
I have a rescued cat from Dakin, the Animal Society. We give him wet food and grain-free dry food, but he throws up all the time.
Oh, boy. And you know what? You've left them speechless. Mike, congratulations. It's a rarity on this program.
Well, I thought there was more coming, so we were just waiting to make sure that was the question. Is that the question?
It's not nice when you step out of bed and...
Always, when that happens. We're with you there.
Yeah.
No.
So anyway,
how old of a cat is this, Mike?
I think he's 4 or 5.
Okay, so a young cat. So this could be something as simple as the cat is eating too much too fast. And you said you feed a combination of dry and canned?
Yes.
Okay. So it could be... Their stomachs are very small. It could just be as simple as that, too much too fast, or it might be something in the food, as we were talking about before. It could just be the protein source or another ingredient in the food.
Mm. Should we try to take away the dry food and just feed them wet?
That would be the first step.
Yeah.
And as a general rule of thumb, you know, 5 to 6 ounces of canned food a day is what you're going to want to feed.
Okay. Well, this was an abandoned cat.
Okay.
And... every time we have company over the house, he sits on everybody's lap.
Aww.
And every time I come home and I sit down, he wants to sit on my belly. And not that it's a big belly. And he marks my glasses. Aww. He marks my reader. He marks my chin.
He's a happy cat.
What do you mean by
this
mark?
A therapy cat.
What do you mean mark? Just rubs up against?
Yes, he uses, he has a snaggle tooth, and sometimes when he marks me, it hurts.
Ouch. Okay. Well, congratulations, Mike. And I guess maybe the cat's chowing down too fast on the dry food, I bet you.
Sounds like it.
Okay. Well, we'll try just giving him the wet food. Any recommendations at what kind or?
So we usually start with a poultry turkey chicken. I don't go by brands. I go by, you know, the individual ingredients. Stay away from fish. You have to read the label.
Why?
Because the fourth, I don't know, a lot of cats vomit on fish.
Really?
Yeah.
Our cat loves fish.
Well, that might be a reason. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Because he loves the salmon. He loves Captain's Cat. Yeah.
But again, if he continues to vomit and you take the fish away, then try a different protein source.
Sure. All right, Mike, thanks, and good luck. 800-348-2551. We go over to Mark in Salem. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Ray. I, over the many, many years of owning cats, I had a mother cat that was training her kittens, and I was watching them very closely, and I finally figured out how to say no to a cat and have a cat understand it, and if you repeat it a few times, they stop the bad behavior, such as wrecking the furniture.
It's not biting them, is it? It's not.
No, you're not
going to bite them, right?
No.
Okay.
And
that would be a little weird.
I have a lot of trash furniture.
All right, Mark. What's the trick, man?
I have a lot of trash furniture, and I know, and there's a couple pieces I don't want them to scratch.
Okay.
So what I do is what the mother cat did is I make my hand like a claw, I hold it up, and they look at my hand, and then I look them right in the eye, and I hiss at them, like a cat would hiss.
Oh.
And they immediately stop what they're doing. And if I do that 3 or 4 times, they don't do it anymore.
I'll be darned.
Wow.
That's
incredible. It works. It's like, well, my mother cat was trying to keep these kittens from coming through a fence that was leading to a road. And she was running along the outside of the fence, hissing at the kittens and doing with her paw, you know, like not swatting them, just holding it up and hissing. And I thought, she's saying no.
Genius.
So I tried it on my cats, and it works on every one of them.
That's a great suggestion. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for calling. And now we go over to Kathy in Hopewell Junction. Kathy.
Hi. I have like a two-part question. One is I have an orange tabby. He's 18 pounds. He was always very vocal, but now he's gotten extremely vocal, almost like you think he's in pain, but then he's holding his toy. Two-part is, one, he's having trouble eating. He does have some kidney issues, and he was on actually the WD. I think it was Hill's. It was the dry and the wet. He's not really liking that, so I've been giving him Fancy Feast, of which I'm not really fond of that brand. It seems like I've been hearing a lot about giving wet only and really looking at the protein source. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. Yep. And now you said this cat does have some pre-diagnosed kidney issues?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you are going to want
to feed him. Many years.
Okay. So you definitely want to stick to strictly canned diet because that will support the kidneys. And what was your other question? I'm sorry, I was trying to
follow. The other question is, so I should look at the protein source in that with the kidney stuff?
So there's mixed thoughts on that. So we have to balance that a little bit. We do sometimes want to restrict the protein when we have kidney trouble, but if we restrict it too much, we find that the cats don't do as well either. So that is balancing, and I would say it is a cat-by-cat basis. And probably something that your veterinarian is going to have to tailor to your cat specifically.
Yeah, because they had him on WD as opposed to the kidney one prescription.
And that
there was a reason for that.
Now,
he did very well for years. And now he's extremely finicky, so I need to give him something.
And honestly, the most important thing is that your cat is going to eat, especially with kidney disease. So if it is the cat eating the Fancy Feast, although it may not be the best highest quality food, I'm okay with that. I want your cat to eat. So, you know, and that's what I would say to my client. It's most important that the cat's going to eat, and we want it to get nutrition with the fighting kidney disease.
All right.
Okay. Can I just ask, what's the Fancy Feast, the can size? I don't know how much to give if I just go to wet.
So the general rule of thumb is going to be 2 of those small cans a day. If your cat's a little bigger, they might need a little bit more than that. But that's the general rule of thumb, 5 to 6 ounces a day of the can.
Okay.
All right. Well, Kathy, thank you very much for the call. That 18-year-old, that's
pretty good.
It's a long run already.
Pretty good.
Right?
That's great.
Number here is 800-348-2551, and over to Alex in South Glens Falls. Alex, you're on.
Hi. I've got a 9-year-old Shih Tzu that developed epilepsy about 3 or 4 years ago. He's been well-managed on phenobarbital, but about 6 months ago, he started having cluster seizures. He'd had 15, 20, 30 seizures in a 48-hour period. So they upped his phenobarbital levels. It didn't help. They put him on a cluster medicine. I can't. It's like a 9-syllable medicine. And it hasn't really helped either. And it actually started getting worse. He used to only have those clusters once a month. Now it's almost once a week.
Wow.
The doctor's starting to talk about quality of life. And we're wondering if there's something else we can try, and at what point do we really need to consider his quality of life?
All right, Dr. Ciculli.
You knew I'd like this question.
Yes, I would.
I guess my suggestion would be is a referral to possibly a veterinary neurologist in the realm of your ability at this point. Would you consider?
Probably, yes.
Would you consider that? Because
well, he's a 9-year-old dog. How much would that really?
I think there's lots of options. I do think there are lots of options. So I would not, just because he is not responding to the phenobarb at this point with the additionals, that there are some wonderful new drugs out that would be absolutely, I'd continue if he were my dog.
All right. Alex, thanks for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. It's Pets and Vets today. Dr. Teresa Tomel and Dr. Susan Ciculli are here. And June in Leverett is there. June, you're on.
Thank you. I am taking care of my son's cat that he was it was a feral cat that he tamed. And he's away now for about 6 or 7 months because of a job. And this cat does best when you only feed it a quarter of a can at a time, similar to the problem that the other caller talked about. If you feed him half a can, he eats too fast and he throws it up.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is that sometimes I have to be away, and so I bought a pop-up feeder.
Excellent.
So that the food could be spread out better through the day. But in the instructions, it says not to put wet food into the pop-up feeder, which wasn't on the outside of the box. It was in the instructions.
Wow.
So I'm afraid that something bad would happen to the cat if I did the wet food in there because of the instructions. So I wasn't sure if that was just because they're trying to limit their liability or what.
I've used these myself with my own cats. They do make some that are specifically for wet food, and they have ice packs right underneath the little trays.
Oh.
And if this is not, you know, somewhere a situation where you're not going to be leaving the cat for a really long time, I think it is completely fine.
I wouldn't be leaving it. It would be
just during the day.
I'd be gone for maybe 6 or 7 hours, and I wanted
you're
be able to eat lunch.
No, okay.
I've had some clients even freeze the canned food
and
then put it out frozen, and then by the time it's ready.
Genius.
Yes.
Well,
okay.
Clients are genius.
Well, thank you.
Well, there's a way. June, thanks for the call. Quickly over to Joanne in Niskayuna. Joanne.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
My question has to do with one of our rescue dogs. This one came from a very, very troubled background, and it's pretty clear that her abuser or someone who abused her puppies was a man. She's wonderful with me and with our other dogs, but still terrified of my husband. I'm looking for any suggestions. He tries to feed her, give her her treats, brush her, which she likes, but the barking is very difficult for all of us. Any suggestions are appreciated.
Okay. How long have you had the dog?
Since September.
Okay.
Well. I think you're doing a great job with the positive reinforcement. That's the most important thing. September mm-hmm. is a little bit of length of time. You might have to involve a trainer to get to that next step.
Okay.
Can you use something like, I know they have Feel Away for cats. Can you use something like that?
They do have a similar product for dogs. The collar I know is called DAP, and there are some other supplement type of products that are similar to get that calming effect.
What is the name of it? I'm sorry.
The collar is DAP, D-A-P.
Oh.
A calming collar.
Okay.
It's a calming collar.
So they do make some supplements that, you know, could just take the edge off a little bit and get her to relax.
What's
a little
in the
bit.
Calming collar?
You know, I'm not 100%. It's similar to pheromones.
Okay.
So similar to those facial pheromones that cats emit.
Yeah.
Similar type of thing with the dog collar as well.
So that might be something to try.
We would certainly try it. And thanks very much for being there. I've enjoyed all the different questions and answers today. Thank you.
Thanks
for the call. Over to Sabrina in Woodstock. Sabrina, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Sure. Burning question for a long time. With my 10-year-old male cat who has feline herpes, he has had chronic URIs for as long as I've had him, which is since he was a year and a half. They had been reoccurring two times a year. In the past couple of years, he's been getting them about four times a year, to the point where he used to have really thick mucus that would block his airway, sneezing, wheezing. The thick mucus has been helped drastically by using colloidal silver spray, but he still has the infection and still has labored breathing, usually treated with an antibiotic shot. I think it's Convenia. I know that the amount of times that we're using the antibiotic is starting to, it's just, I know that it's not a great long-term plan. So, and we also use lysine, L-lysine. I was wondering if there's anything else, perhaps at the early stage of the infection when I see it starting to come on, or even to get him through the hump of it, a nebulizer or anything, just desperate to get him through it without always going to antibiotics four okay. times a year.
I could tell you your call could be from a good 10% of the clients that we see.
Mm-hmm.
We see a lot of this. You are not alone. It is, for me and Teresa, a frustrating disease that we deal with. And so it's great to hear that you've gone, the routes that, we would do for that. I think I've mentioned it on mine is I have used some of the aromatherapy. And I do sometimes find that's helpful. You just have to use a very small amount for cats.
Okay.
And I think Dr. Dallas had even commented that maybe there's some herbals or even some diet changes, because that's what you're looking for. As this cat gets older, his immune system is decreasing. And so that's where we see the cat problems start with. I mean, we have cats that come in for GI problems, and they start with an upper respiratory to begin with, and then go.
All right. Now, Andrea and Socrates, you got dumped from the line. We only have about 5 seconds. Can you ask a one-sentence question, Andrea? She's gone again. Here we go again. Yeah, we've spun the wheel of life, and now we're back at the beginning. Thanks to Dr. You see, you try to do something good, no good turn goes unpunished. Dr. Susan Ciculli, Dr. Teresa Tomel, thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Support comes from State Street Fruit Store, Deli Wines on Spirits, downtown Northampton, a locally owned, community-minded grocery and specialty food store since 1922. Wine tastings every Friday, 4 to 7, statestreetfruit.com. The Hyde Collection in Glens Falls, exploring a magical world, paintings that depict how Greenwich artist Jacob Houston sees the world around him through June 23rd. Might be Greenwich artist, I'm not sure. HydeCollection.org. At Mannix Marketing, a New York State women-owned business positioning companies big and small online for more than two decades. MannixMarketing.com. Well, thanks again to Dr. Ciculli and Dr. Tomel for being here. Thank you for listening. Great calls, as always. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones answered by Carol Lapani. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on Vox Pop, we'll discuss the business and use of marijuana with a mental health counselor and the CEO of Theory Wellness, a recreational dispensary in Massachusetts. That's tomorrow at 2. Right now, stand by for 51%.